外昆塔之音服务源于聆听。各位尊敬的奉献者，大家早上好。今天是2020年6月17日，我们邀请到了深爱着我们以及我们深爱着的阿叔 Krishna Baladeva 部，为我们继续讲述今年国家瓦坦的，敬请聆听。 Hare Krishna
Hare Krishna Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
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 Hare Krishna, so we continue.Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, this is second canto, chapter 8, questions by King Parikshit, today text number 16.
我们今天继续阅读圣念博迦瓦坛第二篇第八章 Parikshita 王提出的问题。我们今天阅读的诗节是第16诗节。
Brahmanam
Brahmanam
Andakoshaya
Andakoshaya.
Ramanam Andakoshaya
Ramanam Andakoshaya
Bahaya
Bahaya
Abhyantara
Abhyantara
Vedataha
Vedataha
Bahaya Abhyantara Vedataha
Bahaya Abhyantara Vedataha
Mahatam
Mahatam
Cha
Cha
Anucharitam
Anucharitam
Mahatam Charucharitam
Mahatam Chanucharitam
Varna
Varna
Ashrama
Ashrama
Vinishchaya
Vinishchaya
Vanashrama Vinishaya
Vanashrama Vinishaya
Ramanam Andakoshaya
Ramanam Andakoshaya
Bhaya Bhyantara Vedata
Bhaya Bhyantara Vedata
Mahatam Chanucharitam
Mahatam Chanucharitam
Vanashrama Vinishchaya
Vanashrama Vinishchaya
Okay, word for word.
四对字
Pramanam
Pramanam 程度和尺寸
Andakoshaya
Andakoshaya 宇宙的
Bhaya
Bhaya 外太空
Abhyantara
Abhyantara, 内太空。
Vedata,
Vedata, 以什么为分割
?Mahatam,
Mahatam, 伟大灵魂的。
Cha,
Cha, 还有。
Anucharitam,
Anucharitam, 特点和活动。
Varna,
Varna, 阶层。
Ashrama,
Ashrama,生活阶段
Vinishaya
Vinishaya 特别描述
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada
译文和要旨由 Srila Prabhupada 提供译文还有请描述被割分的宇宙内空间和宇宙外空间伟大灵魂的特质和活动社会阶层与灵性阶段的划分以及他们各自的特点。要旨 Parikshita 王是主 Krishna 典型的奉献者因此渴望了解至尊主创造的完整意义。他想知道宇宙形象的内外空间真正在追求知识的人适合了解这一切。所以要是认为至尊主的奉献者只不过是些感情用事的人谁就可以透过帕克西特王的询问得到很好的教训。了解纯粹的奉献者是多么的好学爱问多么的想清楚地了解事物的真相。 现代科学家甚至无法了解宇宙内的空间，更何谈覆盖宇宙的空间。帕克西坦王不只是满足于了解物质知识，他对伟大灵魂、至尊主的奉献者的特质和活动也很好奇。至尊主的荣光和他的奉献者的荣耀结合起来，组成了圣典博加瓦坛的完整知识。当主 Krishna 的母亲完全被儿子迷住，往他嘴里看时，想要看见儿子到底吃了多少泥土时，至尊主在自己的嘴里向母亲展示了整个宇宙创造。凭借至尊主的恩典，奉献者能够在至尊主的嘴里看到宇宙中的一切。在这节诗中，帕克西特王也问了有关基于个人本性把社会分成四个阶层，把人分成四个阶段的科学划分问题。这种划分就像人类分成，这种划分就像是把人体分成四个部分，身体所属的各个部分与整体身体没有分别，但是它们本身而言只不过是身体的一部分而已，那就是社会四阶层和人生四阶段这一整体科学体系的意义所在。对人类社会的这一科学划分所具有的价值，只能由为至尊主做多少份爱服务的比例来确定。包括总统在内，任何一个为政府服务的人都是整个政府不可缺少的一部分，所有的人都是政府的仆人，没人是政府本身，那就是在至尊主的政府内全体生物的地位。没人能够谋求至尊主的至尊地位，每一个生物存在的本来的目的就是为了要侍奉至尊整体。还有请描述被划分的宇宙内空间和宇宙外空间，伟大灵魂的特质和活动，社会阶层与灵性阶段的划分，以及他们各自的特点。大叔，
Om Gyana Timiram Dasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Shakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pusharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashata Deshatarine Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Pancha Kaupataru Vyacha Kripa Sindhu Vyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Maharaj Parikshit continues his asking his questions to his guru Shukadeva Goswami.
这里呢，帕克西特王继续向他的 guru 圣 Shukadeva Goswami 询问问题。
So he asks three different questions. He wants to know about the inner outer space of the universe, and then he wants to hear about the character and activities of great souls, and then he wants to hear also about the different divisions in society.
他在这里面呢询问了三个问题。第一个呢，他想知道这宇宙的内外空间是怎么划分的。那另外一个，他想知道这些伟大的灵魂他们的特质和活动，以及呢这个社会阶层和社会阶段的划分的特点。
Is very concerned, Maharaj Parikshit is very concerned about all of us, all conditioned souls. Is for himself, he doesn't need to ask all these questions because he's already a perfect devotee. But for our sake, is posing all these questions.
Park Sita Wang, he 非常的为众生，为这些受条件限制的灵魂的利益所着想。Park Sita Wang, he 本身其实已经是一位完美的灵魂，他是一位纯粹的奉献者，所以如果为他自己，他根本就不需要询问所有的这些问题。
The universe with its planets and stars and luminaries has always fascinated humankind.
这宇宙包括它所具备的这些星星、这些星系以及这些闪烁的状态，它总是会让人类非常的未知而惊奇。
Yeah, it's a fact. You know, when in a very clear sky, when you look at all these little lights in the sky, you know, and it's amazing. You know, and we wonder, you know, since childhood we wonder what is there, what is that for?
在非常的清晰的夜空中，当我们看到这闪烁的星星的时候，我们就是会觉得非常的好奇，我们就觉得很奇妙。当我们从孩童时代起，我们就想知道，在这些闪烁的星星里面，到底都是在发生着什么。
And it's a fact that if you are sober enough, we kind of feel great awe and reverence, and may wonder if there is anyone who has created all these luminaries.
而事实上呢，如果我们要是够冷静的话，我们可能就会有这种很敬畏的这种心态，去了解到底都是谁创造出了所有的这些奇迹的景象。
So since thousands and thousands of years, particularly the last 5,000 years, when Vedic culture has been more and more disappearing, scientists have been pondering, been questioning what is this universe about.
但是就自从这个成千上万年以来，特别是在五千年，就在这近五千年，也就是当这个伟大文化变得越来越消失的这个状态下呢，使得科学家们就越来越开始探寻到底这宇宙是怎么回事。
I mean, since the beginning of Kali Yuga, people have lost track of the real knowledge, so they are trying to speculate about everything they see and everything they contemplate.
也就是说呢，在卡利年代开始的时候呢，由于人们已经不再有知识，就不再能够获得这个知识的源泉，就是不再有这个获得知识的这个资源，所以说呢，他们就开始对自己的这个想法进行各种各样的推销。
So since we have been hearing, you know, scientists from hundreds of years and coming with their speculations about universe and the planets and everything, it's just based on speculation because with their senses they cannot perceive really what is the universe, because they are in this small planet and all these things are there in out space is so far away.
所以说呢，现在对于这宇宙啊，对星系的这些理解呢，都是由科学家们通过他们自己的心智推敲而得来的。但是呢，这些信息呢都没有办法变得完美和完整，原因是由于这些科学家们他们就是生活在这个小小的这个星宿上，但是这个整个的这个宇宙是非常浩瀚的，所以他凭自己的这个脑力是根本就没有办法完全理解的。
And most of the scientists, because of their atheistic conception of life, they tend to rule out any powerful creator and just make us accept or swallow that all this universe, all these planets and stars and everything all just came about by chance.
而且呢，大部分的这些科学家们他们都是无神论者，所以呢他们就希望硬生生的让我们接受就是所有的这一切的这个产生呢，它就是在 就是在无中生有的这样的一个状态下产生的，而并不是有一个创造者把这些事物给创造出来的。
Like the theory of Darwin, the theory of Darwin, you know, that everything comes from a big bang, a big explosion, then fragments went all over the place and gradually start getting together and they create the planets and the stars and eventually the different forms of life.
那比如说像达尔文的理论，他就说呢，就是在空间中经历了一场爆炸，然后使得这些碎片呢，分散到了各个地方，然后呢，在这些各个地方的这些碎片呢，最终组成了整个的宇宙，以及在这个星宿上，在这个宇宙中的各种各样的星宿，然后从那里呢，产生了后来所产生的这一切。
It's pure speculation.
对呢，这是完全的推敲。
And it is just a theory. A theory is not a scientific fact.
而且呢，这是一种理论，而且这个理论呢，它也不是科学的事实。
But this is what we still study in our textbooks.
但是呢，这依然是我们现在在教科书里面所学到的内容。
Majority of the people in this world who don't believe in God, they accept this explanation as totally scientific.
那么在这个世界的大部分的人呢，都是不相信有神的，所以说呢，他们就相信这种所谓的科学的说法。
But those who are sober and who understand that with their senses, with their minds, they can never access, they can never understand, explain the reason of all these planets, why they are there, what's their purpose, then they take shelter. These people take shelter in higher knowledge, revealed knowledge.
但是呢，作为一个真正的冷静的人，真正的用他的这个感官和用他的心意去思考的人，他是没有办法理解到底这个宇宙这些星宿这种状况到底是怎么发生的，他没有办法理解，所以呢，他就只能够托庇于更高的知识。
So some people like those who follow the Bible, they tend to accept the version of the Bible that there is a God, there is a creator, and he created everything in 6 days, and on the seventh day he took rest.
所以呢，那些这个追随圣经中的圣经的人呢，他就会相信在圣经中的说法，他就会相信是有一个神，是神他所创造的一切。他花六天七天的时间，他花六天的时间呢创造这一切，然后在第七天的时候呢，他就休息了。
That's why they say the Sunday is the seventh day, so we take a rest on Sunday. We don't work.
所以为什么说呢？这星期天它是一周的第七天，那么这一天呢是休息日，所以在这一天呢我们就不工作。
Some others they say now Sunday is the first day, so the seventh day is Saturday, so we rest on Saturday.
但是还有人说呢，这礼拜天是这一周的第一天，然后这一周的第七天呢是礼拜六，所以这礼拜六呢是休息日。
So it's a very simplistic explanation about the creation, what is in the Bible.
但是呢，这个是在圣经里面对于创造的非常简单的描述。
But at least gives an indication that the whole universe comes about because there is a creator, somebody who creates it.
但是呢，这至少给了我们一点了解，就是整个的这个宇宙它之所以会存在，是由于有一个创造者，是有一个人他把它一切创造出来的。
Such a wonderful thing cannot come about by chance.
那么这是一个如此美妙的事物，它根本就是不可能无中生有的。
It's totally a pretension to think that these things have not been created.
如果要是这一切都是不是经过创造就产生的话，那这所以要是 pretensions
craziness, whatever.
Okay, 那么这个都是这个就是虚假的，而且是一种疯狂的想法。
It has no sense.
所以呢，这是不符合情理的。
Yes, the material, the planet, the universe, the planets are there, the stars are there, and there is a purpose for their for being there.
那么有这个星宿在那里, 有各种各样的星星在那里, 那他们所在那儿呢, 其实都是有目的的。
And they were created.
而且他们是被创造出来的。
They were created, they are being maintained very nicely, rotating all around without clutching with each other in a very nicely way, and eventually everything is going to be wind up, everything is going to be destroyed.
他们这一切呢是被创造出来的，并且呢是被非常有序的维护着，在相互和谐的状态下在运行着，他们不会彼此之间相撞。 而且最终呢，这一切都会结束，都是会被毁灭的。
Like anything we see around us as a beginning, as a middle, and as the end.
比如说，在我们所看到的周围的这一切呢，它都是有始，然后有中间的发展阶段，最后还有结束。And
there is a purpose for this creation.
而这种创造呢，它是有目的的。
Is meant to give facility to the rebellious souls, to the independent souls, so they can satisfy their independent desires in many different variety of ways, and eventually become reformed.
那么其实呢，是为了要给这些想要独立的、有叛逆性的这些个体灵魂。 以一些能够在这里进行各种各样活动的设施，那么最终呢，它能够得到改造。So
material world is functions like a prison to give opportunity for the conditioned souls to purify themselves and eventually get out, be totally reformed and go back to their original abode.
物质世界呢，它就像是一个监狱。 使得受条件限制的灵魂呢，在这里得到净化，然后得到改造。最终呢，当他完全改造好了以后呢，就能够摆脱这个地方，能够从这个地方出去了。So
in universe there are different planetary systems, higher planetary systems, middle planetary systems, lower planetary systems.
所以说呢，在这个宇宙中呢，就有。 不同层级的这个星宿体系，有高等星宿，有中等星宿，还有低级星宿。And
it's to accommodate people with different karmas.
那么这些地方呢，都是为了要为具有不同业报的人们提供不同的设施。So.
Those who have very good karmas, they go to the higher planetized systems where life is long and full of material enjoyments. And those who are less pious or more in the mood of passion, so they stay in these middle planetary systems like this planet Earth. And those who are in the mood of ignorance, very sinful, they can go. To the hellish planets.
作为那些有很好的业报，然后处于善良形态的人呢，他们就可以去到高等星宿，在那里进享荣华，并且呢有着很长、很漫长的生命。然后，处于相对于激情形态的这些生物体呢，他们就会来到这个中等星宿，比如说我们现在所在的地球的这个星球。 那么作为那些处于愚昧形态的，并且呢是非常罪恶的这些生物体呢，他们就会去到地狱星宿。So
when we look in the sky, look at the sky and see all these luminaries in the sky. Sometimes, you know, if it's a dark night, we can see thousands of little lights in the sky. You can understand these are all planets. And they are inhabited by living entities with different forms of life. And these planets, they all have different atmospheres to accommodate these different species of life.
有的时候就是当这个夜空非常的清明的时候，我们就能够看到有成千上百万的这种星星在天空中闪烁。那么每一颗星星呢，它都是一个星球，而在每一颗星星里面呢，都是有生物体的。那么每一个星星里面，它所处于的这种生活的氛围都是不一样的，就是为了要给不同的这些生物体提供相应的生活环境。
And Krishna periodically in different forms of life, in different incarnations, come to these planets and performs pastimes and tries to awaken those conditioned souls to their original consciousness.
而在不同的这些时间段里面呢 ，Krishna 他会显现为不同的形象，然后他会以不同的化身降临到这些不同的星球里面。然后呢，在这些不同的星球里面呢，上演各个逍遥时光，从而能够唤醒在这个星球中所居住的生物体的意识知觉。
So we are not the only planet who has life, and we are not special. There are millions of other planets with living entities much more intelligent, much more capable, and much more intelligent than we are in this planet.
所以说呢，我们现在所生活的地球星球呢，它并不是唯一的有生物体的星球，所以呢，我们也没有什么可觉得自己了不起的，因为呢，在整个的宇宙中呢，有成千上百万的宇宙星，就成千上百万的这种星球的存在，而且在里面呢，有各种各样的生物体，而且有很多的生物体呢，是要比我们要高级的多的。
The point is that all these places are inhabited.And they are inhabited by conditioned souls with different karmas.
那这要点就是说，所有的这些星球里面全部都居住着受条件限制的灵魂，都根据他们不同的业报而居住在这些不同的星球里。
Like when you go to the jail also there are departments. There are a department for the ordinary prisoners, and there is a section for those who are really bad criminals, and they are very tight security, and they are in isolation, and they have more strict incarceration. And then there are those who are very well behaved, and sometimes they are even given a facility to have a job within the jail and work some like in the office, do something and get more facilities.
那比如说我们在监狱里面呢，其实也可以看到有不同的划分。那么有这种普通的牢房，就是普通的囚犯呢，就会住在这些普通的牢房里面。那么对于那些重犯，那他们就会被严格的看守在相应的这个独立的这些牢房里面，然后呢，从而对他们进行严格的看管。但是还有一些。表现很好的这些罪犯呢，他们甚至于能够得到在监狱中的一些工作，然后他们不是住在这个牢房里面，他们反而呢可能会被派有一间会被安排一个工作室，然后呢在这个办公室里面进行他们的工作。
So Maharaj Parikshit is also asking about, it's a different question here. Although we could relate also the character and the activities of the great souls.
那Srila Parikshita 王呢，在这里面 ，Parikshita 王在这边又问了另外一个问题。那这个问题呢，相对不是另外一个话题，但是呢，也是相关的。这个问题呢，就是说，伟大灵魂的特征和活动是什么？
Sadhus, saintly persons.
Sadhu 是圣洁之士。
They travel throughout the universe to different planetary systems. Some of them, like Narada Muni, you can see it travel out of space, goes to the upper planetary systems. That comes to this planet and it goes also to the hellish planets.
他们呢会在各个星宿中进行旅行，比如像 Narada Muni。他们会去到高等星宿，然后也会去来到这个中等星宿，然后他们也会去地球星宿，地狱星宿。
their character is that they are extremely merciful.
那他们的特征呢，是他们极度的仁慈。
And they are very, very concerned about other living entities suffering.
而且呢，他们非常的关切着其他的生物体的苦难。
So they want to go anywhere and everywhere where's needed to try to awaken the conditioned souls to Krishna consciousness.
对呢，他们会去到任何一个地方，任何一个需要他们的地方，他们都会去到那里，并且呢，努力的唤醒受条件限制的灵魂的 Krishna 知觉。
They go and they beg to people, please be Krishna conscious, be a devotee of Krishna.
他们去到这些地方呢，就会祈求那里的人们，求你们了，求你们变得具有 Krishna 的，变得具有 Krishna 知觉吧，求你们成为 Krishna 的奉献者吧。
Don't spoil your lives just trying to fulfill your animal propensities.
不要用你的这个动物的这种倾向来满足你的生活，从而毁掉你的生活。Human
life is not meant for that.
因为人类的生命不是意味着这样去生活。Human
life is meant for self-realization, to become Krishna conscious.
那人类的生活呢，是为了要让自己变得具有自我觉悟，并且呢，能够让自己成为具有 Krishna 知觉。
So this is the character of a great soul.
那么，所以这个呢，是一位伟大的灵魂他所具备的品格。
He is not satisfied with his own liberation.
他不满足于自己的解脱。
He always thinks about others.
他总是为别人所着想。
So he is most compassionate.
对呢，他是最具有怜悯之情的。
Most merciful.
他是最仁慈的。
And very tolerant also.
而且呢，他也非常的容忍。
Because when they try to preach Krishna consciousness, sometimes they meet so many opposing elements.
因为呢，当他们在努力传播 Krishna 知觉的时候呢，有的时候呢就会遇到很多的敌对的，或者是和他就是有敌意的这些元素。So
many difficulties.
所以有很多的艰难。
Just remember our Srila Prabhupada, the difficulties he had to undergo in order to go to the way, to go to America and then begin preaching Krishna consciousness.
我们就想一想，我们的Srila Prabhupada，他为了要去到美国，并且在美国开始传播 Krishna 知觉，他所经历的所有的那些艰难。
He suffered so much seasickness while on the sea.
他受了很多苦，当他在跨海去美国的时候呢，在这一路上他非常的，就是他身体很不好。He
suffered seasickness, you know seasickness?
哦，他这个遇到这个，yes, I know that, 就是晕船。
You feel dizzy all the time. Because
you only see
ocean and moving up, down, up, down, up, down. And you only see ocean and you feel like it's horrible. It's horrible. You think it's a little thing, but it's horrible. Especially when you take 1 month of traveling in a boat. It's horrible.
如果我们想一想在海上航行的这个情景，我们觉得可能是一件挺容易的事儿，但其实是很可怕的。 特别是当你在这一个月里面，你所见的只是海洋，而且这个船呢，它是上下非常的颠簸的，所以说他爸爸他始终都处于这种晕船的状态，总是处在这种要呕吐啊，很难受的状态。And
then he suffered 2 heart attacks.
而且在这期间呢，他还得了2次心脏病。And
then he was in America for 1 year practically without any help. No money, no situation.
那么当他在美国的时候，这头一年呢，可以说他是没有任何的助援， 而且也没有任何的钱，也没有任何的设施。
So it's a very thankless task to try to preach Krishna consciousness to the conditioned soul. Can be very, 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 even can be very dangerous.
所以说呢，到西方去传教，把 Krishna 知觉传给这些受条件限制的灵魂的这个，就是这项任务是一个很费力，而且也不讨好，也不讨好的一个一个活动，而且呢，也有可能是非常危险的。
500 years ago, Haridas Thakura, because of preaching Krishna consciousness amongst he was being a Muslim and preaching Krishna consciousness, he was beaten in a market for 22 times.
那在五百年以前呢 ，Haridas Thakura 他自己本身是一个穆斯林，那么他在穆斯林人中进行 Hare Krishna 知觉的这个传教的过程中呢，他被拖到21个市场进行鞭笞。
Terrible. They wanted to kill him by beating him.
所以呢是很可怕的，他们想要通过用鞭抽他，把他给打死。
They crucified Jesus Christ because of this preaching.
所以说呢，就是because of the preaching.
They crucified Jesus Christ because of this preaching.
OK. 耶稣基督就是由于他的传教而被钉在了十字架上。
But you see, even though they underwent so many opposition, so much danger, still they were always very tolerant, always very kind, very merciful.
但是我们看到，虽然他们经历了这么多的艰辛，经历了这么多危险，但是呢，他们依然保持着自己的仁慈、慈悲以及他们的容忍之心。
And is not only merciful to the human beings, but even to other forms of life as well.
他们不仅对人类表示他们的仁慈，他们对于其他的生命形式也是非常慈悲的。
So this is another quality of the saintly person, great souls. They are friendly to all living entities. They have no enemies.
所以呢，这是这些圣人们的另外一个品质，就是他们非常的友善的对待众生，他们没有任何的敌人。
They are always peaceful within their hearts.
在他们的内心之中总是非常平和的。
Because they know.That Krishna is always there to protect them.
因为他们心里知道 Krishna 始终都在那里在保护着他们。
Always trying to do the whatever, try to help the conditioned souls.
所以呢，他们时刻总是永远都是在努力着要帮助这些受条件限制的灵魂。
They are very faithful to Krishna, and they always follow the holy scriptures.
那他们对于 Krishna 是充满了全然的信心的，而且他们时刻都在追随着神圣的经典中的教导。
So these are the great souls, the saintly persons.
所以呢，这就是神圣的圣人们，他们所具备的特征。
They are always acting for the benefit of others.
他们总是为了其他人的福祉在活动。
They are qualified to be with Krishna in the spiritual world, but they prefer to stay in the material world to try to convince the conditioned souls to become Krishna conscious.
他们本来是具备了完全的资格在灵性世界和 Krishna 在一起的，但是呢，就是为了救赎在这个物质世界的这些受条件限制的灵魂，他们愿意到这来帮助这些受条件限制的灵魂。
They are so concerned about others.
因为他们实在是非常的关切其他人的利益。
So this is.And they go, they can go all over the universe.
而且呢，他们是可以自由的去到所有的地方的，可以在全宇宙中穿行的。
They can even go to hell if necessary.
如果要是有必要的话呢，他们也会去到地狱。
Srila Prabhupada went to hell. He was in Vrindavan, the most holy place, and he decided to go to New York, which is totally the opposite.
Srila Prabhupada 他就去到了地狱。他本来是在最完美的 Vrindavan, 但是呢，他却去到了纽约城，是和Vrindavan 完全相反的一个地方。
When Srila Prabhupada, when the ship stopped in Boston before going to the New York at a short stop in Boston, and the captain of the ship, invites Srila Prabhupada to go for a walk outside, and they went for a walk. You will get everything. They went for a walk. And then Prabhupada, just by looking around and seeing the billboards and the buildings about smoke this cigarette, drink this wine, and another one with a very beautiful woman, very sexy. And Srila Prabhupada immediately could understand that people in America were so deeply affected by the modes of passion and ignorance.
当这个船前往纽约之前呢，先在波士顿进行了一个短暂的停留。那么当他们停在波士顿的时候呢，船长就邀请舍尔帕帕到岸上来散下步。那么当舍尔帕帕他来到波士顿的海岸，然后呢散步的时候呢，他就看到了在这个波士顿城里面所贴出的这些广告，包括烟酒的广告啊，还有就是关于这个美女的广告啊，吸烟的这些广告啊，然后舍尔帕帕他立刻就明白，美国这个地方是完全被激情属性和愚昧属性所笼罩的，这里的人呢是被这样的属性所影响的。
He could understand that everybody was so addicted to very bad sinful activities.
所以他就能够明白，在这里面的人呢是。非常沉醉在这些罪恶的活动的。
So this is hell. Compared with Vrindavan, it's hell.
所以呢，和文达文相比呢，这里就是地狱。
In Vrindavan, it's all temples. There is no place where you can buy alcoholic drink. There is no place you can buy cigarettes. There is no women. Undressed or not well dressed, very lusty. There is no such things in Vrindavan.
在 Vrindavan 有的都是庙宇，在 Vrindavan 你也没有办法买到香烟，没有办法买到酒，而且也看不到衣服都没有穿好的女子。
So this is the character and the activities of great souls. They just act for the purpose of helping the conditioned souls because they know. This is very pleasing to the Lord.
所以说呢，这就是伟大的灵魂他所表现出来的这种品格，就是他会为了其他人的受条件限制的灵魂的这种福祉去活动，因为他知道他这样做呢是非常的取悦至尊主的。
Parikshit Maharaj also wants to hear about the different classifications, different orders of social life.
然后帕尔克希特王呢，他也希望能够听到这个关于社会的各个不同阶层的划分的情况。
Because it's obvious there are different classes of people.
因为毫无疑问，非常显然有各个阶层的人们的存在。
Like now there is some shudras, less qualified people who are doing some hard work outside on Sunday morning.Making an incredible noise right by my window.
比如说现在是星期天的大早，那么就有一些这个处于低等资格的一些sudra就在我的窗户外面在干着一些活儿，然后呢发出巨大的噪音。
Because in this material world, everybody's condition is affected by the is influenced by the three modes of material nature.
因为在这个物质世界呢，所有的人他的这个条件的状况呢，都是被物质自然三属性所影响的。
Some people are mostly influenced by ignorance.
那么有些人呢是很大部分的被愚昧属性所影响。
They just work hard even on Sunday.
对呢，他们只是努力的在工作，即便是在周日。
And they can work with a machine that makes an infernal noise and that destroys totally our hearing system, but they just want to work hard to get money and then add some sex enjoyment.
那他呢就会用一种，他会用这种机器来进行工作。那么这机器在进行劳作的时候呢，会发出巨大的噪音。那这种噪音呢，会把我们的听力都给损坏了。但是呢，他不管。他要做的只是努力的工作，然后赚钱，赚完钱以后呢，可以用这个钱去享乐他的人生，然后去进行他的感官上的享乐。阿叔掉线了。Hare Krishna， 现在大家稍微等一下，阿叔掉线了。Sadhi Maji。
哎，阿叔，我在呢。我再加一下
啊，那，啊，阿叔
，I pressed. Are you there?
Yes.
Are you there? Okay. I wanted to press the mute and I pressed the red button.
Oh, okay.
I didn't want you to hear all this noise.
Okay.
And then those in a more in a moodlet fashion.Or mixed passion and ignorance, like the agriculturists, like business people.
那所以说呢，就是由于这些各种各样不同的属，就由于这不同属性的各种影响，使得我们有务农的人呐、啊，还有从商的人呐、啊。
They are mostly influenced by passion and ignorance.
那么这些人呢，他们。大部分的是被激情属性和愚昧属性所影响。
And then you see those who are really very much influenced by passion, particularly they are good in management, in leadership.
而且我们发现，就是那些被激情属性所影响的人呢，他们是很有领导力的，他们也很有管理能力。
And then we see those who are in a mode of goodness, who are very peaceful, very balanced, you know, they are very good. They are good for teaching, to give good lessons to others, give good example.
那么那些处于善良属性影响的人呢，他们是非常平和的，而且呢也很有这个过得也很平衡的这种生活，所以呢他们就可以是老师，他们可以去教导别人。
Everywhere where you go in any society in this world, you're going to see these four types of people.
那么在这个社会里面，你所去到的任何一个地方，你都能够看到这四种人。
They always have been always there, and they will always be there because the three modes of material nature are always there in the material world.
因为在这个物质世界呢，始终都会有物质自然三重属性的，所以说呢，在这个物质自然三重属性的影响之下，我们总是会有这四种人存在的。
The problem has been existing through history is that the tendency is the higher classes to exploit the lower classes.
但是呢，在这历史上我们能够看到的是，这个问题就在于在高等的阶层的人，他就有这种要去剥削低等的阶层的人的这种倾向。
Like in the end of the Dwapar Yuga, just before Kali Yuga began, the Brahmanas got degraded. They lost their good qualities.
比如说呢，在多尔盘年代之末，在卡利年代还没有开始之前，就要开始的时候呢。这个婆罗门他们就堕落了，他已经失去了他们高尚的品质。
They lost their good qualities.
他们丧失了他们好的品质。
They lost their purity.
他们丧失了他们的纯粹度。
So they were not anymore an example for the other classes.
所以呢，他们就没有办法再成为其他的那些阶层人的榜样了。
The Brahmanas are the ones who really make sure that all other classes, they all cooperate nicely together without exploitation.
但是呢，这个婆罗门他本来是要去确保其他的这些阶层是能够在不剥削彼此的这种情况下，相互的和谐的相处。
Because they know the scriptures and they live according to the scriptures.
因为他们是按熟经典，并且是按照经典的训谕来生活的。
They are good examples for others.
他们对于其他的人呢，应该是很好的榜样。
They are detached.
他们是弃绝的，没有依附之心的。
They are not attracted to material wealth.
而且呢，他们也不会去依附于这些物质的富裕。
So a Brahmana cannot be bribed.
所以呢，一个婆罗门是不可能被贿赂的。
We cannot pay a Brahmana to work according to how we want things to be done.
所以呢，我们不能够按照我们想让这件事情完成的方式付钱给婆罗门，让他去做这件事。
Because the Brahmanas were independent.
因为婆罗门他们是独立的。
They were only dependent on the Supreme Lord.
因为他们只会依靠于至尊主。
So because of the presence of the Brahmanas, their knowledge and their good example, society was controlled and the higher classes would never exploit the lower classes.
对呢，就是由于有婆罗门的存在，使得整个的这个社会呢，是处在一个很好的被控制的状态，使得其他的这个阶层他不会去，就是其他的高等的阶层他不会去欺负或者剥削低等的阶层。
Everybody was properly maintained. There was good cooperation amongst all the different classes, and there was peace in society.
那每一个人呢，都受到了很好的维护。然后每一个人呢，他们都是在彼此合作的心态下进行生活的，所以说呢，整个的这个社会呢是处在很平和的状态。
So, when the Brahmins lost their powers, their purity, then the kings, the Kshatriyas, the leaders, they became very, very powerful. Nobody to contain them.
所以说，当婆罗门失去了他们的力量，失去了他们的纯粹的时候呢，使得国王，就使得这些这个国家的领导者就变得失控的强大了。
And they start exploiting the citizens because they had the power.
对，因为他们就变成了权力，所以呢，他们就开始剥削他所管理的这些臣民。
So that was the period of monarchy.
所以呢，这就是就是一个皇室的状态。
When the leaders all over the planet were kings.
那就是在整个的这个星宿呢，都是由这个国王所去统治。
And the kings were great, strong authorities dominating the citizens and exploiting them.
而这些国王呢，他们都是非常有权有势的，而且呢，他们会剥削他们所管辖范围内的这些人们。
But then the Vaishyas, they organized themselves together and they overthrew the power of the kings and they installed a different system of government where government was done by the Vaishyas, because they knew how to.
那因为这个 Vaishya 呢，他们知道怎么进行管理，知道怎么去进行运作，所以呢，他们就没有办法忍受国王的这种强权的控制，所以他们就揭竿而起，推翻了国王的统治，然后又建立起了自己新的不一样的政权。
So then we have what we call capitalism.
对呢，我们就有了资本主义。
where the business people, people who know how to make money, they are the leaders in society.
也就变成了知道如何赚钱的这些人变成了社会的领导。
And this is what we have in practical anywhere in the world. They are capitalists. They are vicious in a position of head of state.
所以呢，现在这个世界各地都是这样的一个状态，就是都是处于资本主义当道的这么一个状态，就是这些会赚钱的 vicious， 它变成了这个国家的一国之主。
And then, of course, they also, because the lower class, the Shudras, are the majority, and they are exploited by this very organized Vaishyas, these capitalists, and they make their work for their interest. They exploit the Shudras.
但是呢，在这个社会中，大部分的人们呢，还是 Sudra。那么这些 Sudra 们呢，就被这个 Vaishya 所这个利用，然后呢来剥削他们，然后使得这些 Sudra 们按照这个 Vaishya 的心思来为他们干活。
So you see the working class being exploited in a capitalist world.
所以呢，我们就可以看到，在这个资本主义世界呢，这些这个劳工阶层呢，就是被这个资本家们所剥削。
So in some places in the world, the Shudras they got together, they organized themselves, and they overthrew the power of the Vaishyas, and they established a government by the people.
所以说呢，在这个世界的某些地方呢，这些苏哲们他们就组织了起来，然后呢揭竿而起，就推翻了歪下的政权，然后从而呢建立了他们自己的政府，然后选出了他们自己的人民作为领袖。
And they decided, okay, there is no classes, there is no exploitation, we are all equal.
所以呢，他们就说了，我们现在已经没有阶层了，而且呢也不再会有剥削，我们大家都是平等的。
So in one sense, they are right.
从某种意义上来说呢，他们这么说是对的。
Because the society should not exploit the citizens.
因为这个社会本来就不应该去剥削臣民。
But we cannot really establish a classless society.
但是呢，我们却不能够真正的建立起来一个没有阶层的社会。
We can organize the classes to be more cooperative amongst each other. That's okay, but we cannot rule out classes because classes are always there according to the conditioning of people.
那是可以让这些不同的阶层的人呢，处在一个更加合作的状态来进行和谐的生活，这是没问题的。但是呢。不可能就彻底的推翻消除这个阶层的这种状态，是由于人们自己受条件限制的状态，使得这些阶层本来就天然都存在的。
So the caste division is not good because there is always exploitation. It's a fact.
所以呢，就是这种等级制度当然是不好的，因为在这里面呢，总是拥有这个等级制度，所以呢就会有剥削。所以这不好。
But in the Vedic times, before 5,000 years ago, there was no problem. There were the four classes, and they were all cooperative because they are ruled by the Brahmanas, and the Brahmins were saintly devotees. So they made sure that everything was done according to the Lord's wish, and there was cooperation amongst all the different classes.
但是呢，在韦达时代的时候呢，虽然是有四个阶层的存在，但是呢是完全没有问题的，因为这些阶层呢都是在婆罗门的领导之下，而婆罗门呢是圣士，是圣洁的人，他们是完全了解经典，而且呢他们是在这个主的这种意愿下，通过这个经典来管理这个整个其他的这些阶层，从而使得大家是在一种非常和谐一种平和的状态下在生活的。
So people were happy, they were satisfied materially, their needs were satisfied, and at the same time they were given an opportunity to become self-realized, to realize God.
所以在这样体系下的生活的人呢，他们是非常开心的，而且呢，他们在物质上是得到满足的。与此同时呢，他们又得到了相应的灵性的知识，从而让自己能够有自我觉悟，觉悟到神的机会。
There was no exploitation by one class to another.
所以说呢，在那种状态下是没有一个阶级去剥削另外一个阶级的状态的。
So everybody was given facility to have their material needs satisfied and they have opportunity to realize their loving relationship with God.
每一个人呢，都会得到自己的物质的设施，从而让自己能够过得舒服，然后与此同时呢，又能够得到灵性的知识，让自己有觉悟、自我觉悟到神的机会。
And this is what our previous acharyas, beginning with Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his son Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, they saw the need of reestablishing this type of varnashram, this type of classification of society based on the principle that we are all meant to serve God.
以及他的儿子Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur，他们都觉得有必要建立起这个Varnashram的就是灵性四阶段和社会四阶层的这个体系，从而呢使人们都能够有机会，就是在这样的这种这个社会体系下，使人们都是以要服务神的这样的目的来进行生活的。
And Srila Prabhupada wanted also this to be implemented in our society.
Srila Prabhupada 他也希望在我们的社团中呢，能够执行这个计划。
But as far we have not really succeeded very much.
现在到目前为止呢，我们并没有对这件事情做出任何的成就。
Because we need to organize ourselves in farm communities, because in farm communities, then we can establish this division in a very proper way.
那因为呢，我们是需要在一个这个农场的社区，然后让自己建立起这样的体系的，因为在农场的社区里面呢，能够很好的把这种制度实行起来。
So, and this is called Devi Varnashram.
那么这个被称为叫Devi Varnashram.
So, where we all the classes are there because conditioned souls have to be in different classes according to their nature, their conditioning, and but the purpose is all to cooperate together for the service of the Lord.
所以说呢，所有的这些阶层都是存在的，因为呢，这些生物体根据自己所受条件的限制，导致了呢，它就是处在不同的这种阶层，但是呢，它的目的是在于所有的这些阶层都是在为主服务为目的的状态下相互合作的生活。So
there is no exploitation because we all see each other's. As devotees, even though materially we don't have the same qualification, but we all are engaged in Krishna service.
所以说呢，在这个状态下呢是没有任何的剥削的，因为所有的人呢都把彼此看成是奉献者。那虽然从物质上来讲呢，我们的状态条件是不一样的，但是我们都有同样的目的，都是为了服务神。
So Srila Prabhupada wanted to us to establish that because we are spreading Krishna consciousness and we it's not that everybody is going to immediately just chant Hare Krishna and be do devotional service and be satisfied. No, they are still attached to material things. So this system allowed them to be very well situated in their natural tendency, and but at the same time offer the fruits of their work to Krishna.
所以舒拉帕帕他希望我们能够建立一些这样的体系，原因呢是由于我们在传播奎什纳知觉，但是问题是呢，并不是所有的人都能够立刻的接受奎什纳知觉的这种教导，然后并且立刻的就开始去念诵圣名，然后呢去研习经典等等。但是呢，如果要是我们能够建立起这样的体系，就使得所有的这些人呢能够非常的舒心的生活在他本来所应该处在的那样的一个状态之下，然后呢他还可以在这样的状态下呢去工作，并且把他工作的这个结果呢供奉给主奎什纳。
嗯，For our society of devotees is also important, because Srila Prabhupada saw that at one time, start noticing that people would join Krishna consciousness, would practice for some time, and then they would fall down, they would go away, and they would go back to their material life like before.
那么对于我们社团内的自己的奉献者来说，建立起这样的体系也是非常重要的。因为Srila Prabhupada他曾经就注意到呢，就有一些奉献者他们加入了进来，然后进行了一段时间休息之后呢，他们又堕落了，他们又离开了我们这个社团，又重新回到了他们之前的生活中。
And you saw that it was very painful for Srila Prabhupada to see how people who had practiced a little bit of Krishna consciousness then would go back to their sinful activities like before.
对于 Srila Prabhupada 来说，当他看到人们开始修习了一些 Krishna 知觉，然后呢又回到了他们之前罪恶的那种生活状态下的时候呢，他是非常痛苦的。
So he said, if we have this system of Devi Varnashram established in our society, particularly in our communities, then this system acts as a safety, a protection, so that our devotees who cannot really be at higher standard of following everything, 16 rounds, at least they can do something and work for Krishna. You know, do something in their spiritual devotional practice, but spend the time working for Krishna.
所以呢，舒拉帕帕说呢，就如果我们要是在我们的这个社团内能够建立起这样 Devi Varnashram 的体系的话呢，那么对于我们在这里面的这些奉献者们，其实也都是一个保护。那奉献者们除了进行一些自己的这个灵性的这个休息之后呢，他还可以，就是因为他生活在这样的体系里面，使得他每天的这种工作呢，可以把它供奉给主奎什纳。
嗯。So, and this is like in the circles, you know, in the circles, sometimes you see people who are walking on a tight rope, you know, a certain height, maybe 10 meters high or more, and they walk on a tight rope with a bar, you know, they try to balance themselves and they walk from one place to another, sometimes even do some jumpings, you know, very dangerous to keep the balance up there.
就比如说对于就像走钢丝，那一个人比如说在这个十米或二十米的高空，然后呢，在一根很细的这种钢丝上，虽然手里拿着一根这个平衡棍儿，然后他从一头走到另外一头，他在走的这个过程中呢，他可能还会做一些这个高空翻滚的这种动作，但是他这么做实际上是非常危险的。
So what happens in the circles? We don't see, you don't pay attention because you're just looking up there, the man with trying to balance himself in a tightrope. But underneath, at a certain distance between the ground and the rope, there is a safety net. So in case the person, the equilibrist, they lose balance and he falls on the safety net. He will not break his bones on the ground.
但是其实就是当我们在看到就是这个马戏团里面的这个走钢丝的这个表演的时候， 我们可能太多的关注在走钢丝的这个人，但其实没有注意到，就是在地面和钢丝中间的这个位置呢，是有一个安全网的。这个安全网就是当上面走钢丝的这个人，他如果万一要是失去了平衡的话，他摔下来，他就会掉在这个网上，然后从而会接住他，这样他就不会把自己的骨头摔断。
So that's the reason why Srila Prabhupada wanted to this Devi Varnashram establish in our society to give a protection to our devotees who could not follow a very high standard, even though they tried, but they could not follow. But at least they would not fall back to their sinful activities. They would be protected, and they could still be in association of devotees and engage in activities of devotion.
所以呢，舍利爸爸就希望我们能够在我们的社团中能够建立起这个 David Arshan 的体系，从而呢为那些在我们的这个社团里面休息的奉献者，但是呢又不能够非常严格的进行休息的这些奉献者一个保护。那么他就是他除了自己做自己那点的这个修行之后呢，他可以因为生活在这个体系里面而从事一些为主做服务的这个活动，而且呢他还可以因为生活在这里面和奉献者始终保持着联谊，这样当他遇到困难的时候呢，他就不会再次回到他之前的那种罪恶的生活的状态下。
And by establishing Devi Varnashram in our communities, then we can give an example for the society outside how we can be organized and in a very cooperative way and how we can be happy and satisfied in all aspects.
而且呢在我们的这个社团里面建立起这样的体系之后呢，也可以给外面的人展示一个榜样，然后呢让别人看看我们如何在这个社区里面能够非常的和谐融洽的生活，在各个方面和谐融洽的生活。
So we stop here, and if there is any question or comments we canSome questions from last time, I think. We have to see with Sati. I think was come some question from last time.
好像Sati Maji上一次有问题没？上次还有没有留下来的问题？好像有，我看一下。
There's new question, but I think there was one or two questions from last time.
I'm trying to retrieve that.
There it is there, you can see.
Yeah.
If you go back on,
邓逍遥的那个，因为我看您上面写着留下一个问题，我们下周回答。
上周日哦。
邓逍遥
was the translator.
Yeah, I saw that. There was a question from 邓逍遥 Mataji or Prabhu. The question is that the Dimbai Guru 翻译，奉纳家的修习者为什么还有自杀的？你会有他们会有什么业报呢？Ashu, see this question, I see if this is the one, because there was a one question remained from last week. The question is
Yes, I just saw.
Please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that why the petitioner of the Bhakti Yoga also has the intention for committing suicide? And if the successfully committed suicide, what...kind of a karmic reaction they will get from that?
It's not easy to answer that. In principle, we are not supposed to terminate our existence. We are not supposed to that. It's very sinful.
那么从原则上来说呢，我们是不能够结束我们自己的生命的。因为这是非常可怕的，而且结束自己的生命，这是很大的罪。
But there are circumstances where it is accepted.
但是呢，就 就是有一些情况其实可以被接受的。
Like some people jumping under the chariot of Jagannath and commit suicide, or some people jumping on the Ganges. This is a type of suicide that is accepted.
那比如说呢，就有些人他可能把自己送到弹车节的，就送到弹车之下，要让弹车从他身上压过去，或者说呢，他投到恒河里面自尽。那么这样的自杀呢，都是接，就是可以的，都是可以被接受的。
And there is an associate of Lord Chaitanya, Chota Haridas. He also commits suicide because the Lord was very disappointed because he was attached to an old woman, even though he was a sannyas, was in a renounced order, and he showed attraction to a woman. So Lord Chaitanya became very, he didn't want to have his association, didn't want him around, so he committed suicide.
比如说主持人马巴布有一位同游，他名字叫 Chota Haridas， 他呢就自杀了。为什么呢？因为他是一位 sannyasi， 是一位托钵僧，但是呢，他表现出了对一位女子的兴趣，从而呢，使得主持人马巴布非常的生气，然后呢，就不想让他再和他有任何的联谊了，就不再理他了。这样呢，他就自杀了。
But then there is a case of Sanatan Goswami that was totally his body was full of all skin, was full of infections, and he didn't want to be near the devotees because he didn't want to infect them. So he was feeling so miserable because sometimes Lord Chaitanya wanted to see the devotees want to come near him, and he felt very embarrassed. So he was thinking maybe it's better if I commit suicide.
那还有一个例子呢，就是说了 Sanatana Goswami 的例子，他呢是由于身体的皮肤被感染了，然后导致了他全身都在流着脓，然后呢他就非常的痛苦，因为呢他每次看到这个奉献者或者主持人马哈巴布想要接近他的时候，他就很痛苦，因为他不想让他身上的这个感染传染到其他的人，所以他就决定要自杀。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to him and he said, oh, you have the intention to commit suicide.
所以主持人马哈巴布就来到他的面前，就在说，哦，你想自杀是吧？
And he felt very embarrassed because he didn't tell anyone.
那去了 Sanatana Goswami Maharaj 一来呢，就觉得很尴尬，因为他并没有把这件事情跟任何人讲呀。
So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this body does not belong to you.
然后Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 就对 Sanatana Goswami 说呢，这一具躯体并不是属于你自己的。
It belongs to me, and I still have much service to do with it.
那这躯体是我的，而且呢，我还得用你这躯体做好多服务呢。
So this is actually what we should understand, and if you understand this, then we should not commit suicide.
对，这个是我们应该所得到的正确的理解。而当我们得到这样的理解的时候呢，我们就不会自杀了。
Our bodies do not belong to us; they are an instrument of the Lord for service.
那我们的身体呢，其实并不是我们自己的财产，它是是主的用于做服务的工具。
So we don't have the right to terminate it.
所以呢，我们并没有权利来终止我们的生命。
Even as we said, okay, there are certain suicide in spiritual places are accepted. In our society, we don't accept because the Lord is. We know that the Lord is the possessor of this body, and this body is meant for His service. So we should not. We don't have the right to terminate it.
虽然说在经典里面呢，说到有些情况，这个自杀它是被允许的，可以被接受的。但是呢，在我们现在生活的这种状态下呢，我们是不能够接受这样的想法的，因为我们知道，就是我们的这个躯体它是属于主的，它是主的财产，而且这个躯体是用于为主做服务的。那么就是因为这个原因呢，使得我们没有权利去终止这个生命。Sorry.
We are followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
对呢，我们是在追随 Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 的学员。
Okay, next question.
Yeah, the next question then start from this week. Yamuna Tira Mataji, 顶拜 Guru, 觉悟超龄和觉悟国家范是瑜伽阶梯的不同阶段。觉悟超龄是透悟到至尊真理的永恒和知识。觉悟八个万才是认知绝对真理的永恒知识和极乐。只有认知绝对真理人格性的一面，才能透悟绝对真理的完整形象。那么请问您第一个问题，觉悟超龄有没有部分认识到至尊真理人格性的一面呢？第二个问题，认识到至尊真理的极乐特性的瑜伽士有什么特征呢？如何全面地理解至尊主的人格性呢？ She has the three questions under the same umbrella. She said that please
okay.
accept my...
Throw the umbrella.
Okay. Please accept my humble obeisances. She's saying that realize the Paramatma and realize the Bhagavan are the different stages on the ladders of the yoga. And realize that the Paramatma is realize that the supreme truth is realize that the eternal and knowledge of the supreme truth. However, realize the Bhagavan that is the realization for the absolute eternalness, eternity, knowledge and blissfulness. So we only recognize the absolute absolute personality character of the absolute truth, then we can have the complete understanding about we can have the complete image of the absolute truth. So my question is that the first question, if we realize the Paramatma, does that mean that we have really partially recognized the absolute truth has the personal character?
Yes, that's true.
是的，这是怎么回事？
Is not complete realization of the absolute truth. It's still partial.
但是呢，这并没有完全的觉悟到至尊真理，所以这只还是一种部分的认知。
We know the absolute truth is a person and is localized.
而且我们知道这个绝对真理它是一个人，而且呢，它是处在一个地方的。
But we don't know, and we cannot have a personal loving relationship with the Paramatma.
但是呢，当我们觉悟到 Paramatma 的时候呢，我们是没有办法和他建立起亲密的个人的关系的。
But at that stage, if you receive the mercy of a pure devotee, then we can access, then we can become attracted.To a devotional, pure devotional service to Krishna, and then become a devotee.
但是呢，当你在这个阶段的时候，如果要是遇到了一位纯粹奉献者的仁慈的话，那么你就能够进入到这个对 Krishna 的奉爱服务之中，然后从而呢就能够开始就是和 Krishna 培养起这种关系了。
And it will be very easy. It will be very easy because they are already so advanced.
因为处在这样的这种奉献者呢，他已经处在一个非常高级的状态，所以说呢，就会很容易的让他这个开始为 Krishna 做奉爱服务。Then the next part,
the
second question is that 认识到至尊真理的极乐特性的瑜伽士有什么特征呢 ？So what are the symptoms of the yogis showed?After they recognize the blissful character of the absolute truth,
Only when they realize Krishna, they can realize that aspect of the absolute truth.
就只有当他一觉悟到了 Krishna 的时候，他才能够真正的觉悟到，至尊真理的极乐的特征。
Does not mean that even in Brahman and Paramatma there is already the experience of spiritual bliss. But the real bliss comes from having a loving relationship with the Lord, not just by being liberated or contemplating His personal form as Super Soul. It comes only when we have an active loving relationship with Him. Like in this material world, you can be happy in many ways, but real happiness develops when we have loving relationships with others. We can be happy alone, being in one room alone all the time, but eventually we need to be active and having loving relationships with others, and this is what gives the real bliss in life. Same in spiritual life. There is already bliss in Brahman and Paramatma, no doubt, because there's no more material life. But still, that aspect of Ananda, Satchit Ananda, that expected blissful life, only manifests when we develop a loving relationship with Krishna.
就是当一个人他觉悟到 Brahman 和觉悟到 Paramatma 的时候呢，他其实已经感受到了一些极乐，感受到了一些快乐，但是呢，就是真正的这个 Satchitananda， 就这种永恒的极乐的这种感觉，是一定是当他觉悟到 Krishna 的时候，当他和这个 Krishna 建立起这种亲密的这种关系的时候，他才有可能去感受到的。那就好像当我们在这个物质世界的时候，我们这个就是首先就我先这么说，就是当他在这个感受到这个快乐的时候，他不仅仅是只是去观想，只是去感觉，但是没有这种关系的真正的融入的时候，他是没有办法真正的让自己极乐起来的。那就好像我们在这个物质世界，我们要是自己天天把自己关在自己一个小屋子里面的时候呢，我们是没有办法真正的快乐的。我们只有在和别人建立起很亲密的那种关系的时候，那会儿才能感受到真正的快乐。Ashu, but her question, she is asking that, so what are the symptoms of the yogis after they reach that kind of bliss? What are the symptoms showed by the yogis after they realize that kind of bliss, Ananda bliss? Signs.
I guess they feel very 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 ecstatic because it must be something incredible. Because they don't have any more material desires, material existence, and they are seeing the form of the Super Soul must be something extraordinary that you have to ask a self-realized yogi.
那我猜呢，就是这样的瑜伽师他。因为他已经不再有任何的物质的欲望，然后呢，他现在是处在一个这个非常极乐的一种状态，所以呢，他应该是展现出的很极乐的真相。但是我觉得您可能还是得去询问一位已经自我觉悟了的瑜伽师，然后问他是怎样的特征。
Is Yamuna Tira attracted to be a yogi?
那么Yamuna Tira Mataji，您是不是这个被吸引着想成为一名瑜伽师呢？She's saying about the yogis who are realized the supreme truth, means about the highest level of the yogi who has already, you know, reaching that kind of Ananda platform. She's not asking for.
No. She's talking about, if she's talking about a yogi or if she's talking about a devotee.
Okay, the term. 所以呢，杨木勒提拉玛吉，如果您要是说的是瑜伽师，因为我在给阿叔解释，您说的是觉悟到至尊真理的极乐的瑜伽师。其实阿叔想问您，您是中间者呢，还是瑜伽师呢？
阿斯坦格瑜伽。
因为如果瑜伽师的话，就意味着是阿斯坦格瑜伽，大部瑜伽师。
They certainly experience an incredible bliss by being free from the material world and be able to contemplate the Supreme Lord. But in their realization, it's just them and the Lord. There's nobody else.
那么就是这样的瑜伽师呢，那当然他是处在极乐的状态下的，因为呢他可以观想主，但是在他的这个状态下呢，只有他和主，没有其他的。
And there is no active relationship.
而且呢，而且也没有活跃的活动，没有活跃的关系。
It's like we call the Shantarasa, neutral.
对，那么这个呢，我们被称为叫 Shantarasa, 它是被称为叫这个中性的。
You're just contemplating the Lord.
因为他只是在观想着主。
So that is certainly incredible.
那所以那这毫无疑问也是很不可思议的。
But if such a yogi receives the association of a devotee, then immediately he can become a great devotee because he is already so advanced.
因为这样的瑜伽师呢，他已经处在了一个非常高级的一个状态，所以说呢。当他得到了一位奉献者的仁慈之后呢，他立刻就能够成为一名非常伟大的奉献者。
These are already so advanced.
啊，因为呢，这已经是因为他已经是非常的高级的状态了。
Next question.
Yeah, the next part of her question is that, how to understand.Or how to have a complete understanding about the personality features of the Lord, the personal features of the Lord.
By engaging in his devotional service and by hearing from saintly devotees and hear the scriptures, there are some descriptions, and then you realize that when you establish a loving relationship with the Lord.
Hmm.那么就是通过聆听经典，通过聆听圣人们的讲述，然后通过从事奉爱服务。那么因为在这个讲述的这个过程中呢，你是能够听到这方面的这个细节的描述的，然后呢你就能够理解，然后呢就能够和主之间有这种关系。
So if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, there are so many descriptions about the Lord. And then you can realize those qualities of the Lord when you develop love for Him.
然后呢，当你培养出和主的关系的时候呢，你就能够觉悟到主的所有的这些品质了。
Keep reading Bhagavatam.
对，那就不断的继续的阅读圣典《波迦瓦坛》。
You can also read the Krishna book stories.
而且呢，也可以阅读Krishna 快乐园全中的故事。
Not Krishna 快乐 This is seems like another book.
Which one?
Krishna 快乐 How you translate that in English?
That's a Chinese translation of the Krishna book. The literal translation is that the origin of the joyfulness.
This is a small book.
No, it's not a small book. It's two books. It's Krishna
the
book.
The stories
it's
of
a, Yeah. Are we talking about two books or one book? I thought that is a book.
It should be two books. The pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan in Dwarka.
Which book are we reading
because
in Jamasthami?
That's the one. What's just stories of Krishna. So which is a summary of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah. That one has been translated as the joyful origins of the Krishna is a joyful origin, something like that.
Okay, next question.
The next question is from Yamuna Tira Madhaji. Dimbai Guru, Krishna 在《薄伽梵歌》中说到完全知觉他的伟大灵魂极为罕见， 自己也更觉得这条路是极其的艰难。请问您第一个问题是在休息中如何能够做到更多的体悟到主人体会到主的人格性，第二是对至尊真理的觉悟程度与 Vaishnava 二十六项品质的培养和展现之间有什么关系呢？感恩您。 Please accept my humble obeisances. Lord Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita that completely realized the completely realized him is a great soul, and such a great soul is very rarely to be seen. So right now I'm on this path. I feel it's quite difficult to proceed. So my question is that number one, in our daily practice, what to do to make us to realize more about the personal features of the Lord. And the second one is that realize the supreme truth verses of the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava. How do they relate it with each other? I mean, the question is
okay, we'll go one by one because they are different.
Yeah, but the first question you have already answered, right? What is the same as the previous one?
Well, it's not.
Okay.
Can you ask again?
Okay, the first question is that in our daily practice, how do we
It's very difficult. Very difficult, said. Very difficult.
She said that actually to proceeding on this path is very difficult. So that's in our daily practice.
Yes.
What to do to have a better realization about the personal features of the Lord?
Well, first we have to go by follow the basics, the ABC.
Okay, 就是回答您的第一个问题啊，就是第一点呢，我们是要先从基础做起，我们要很好的打好基础，一二三做起。
No, you are learning the ABC, and you want to already read a very advanced book.
所以说呢，就是当你在学习这 ABC 的这些知识的时候呢，你已经想要阅读很高深的书籍了。
You cannot.
但是呢，这会儿我们是不行的。
So first we have to learn the basics. You have to chant 16 rounds every day, try to avoid the offenses, and follow the regulative principles. So gradually your heart becomes purified, and then you're going to start understanding and realizing more things, and your practice becomes more steady and more advanced. It's a practice. It's a gradual process.
那么这是一个循序渐进的习练的过程。那我们最开始呢，就应该先是认真的念诵，然后呢，努力的让自己不要冒犯，然后呢，信守这四项规范原则，然后逐渐的呢，当我们的内心得到净化之后呢，我们才能够理解更多，然后这会儿我们才能够去了解更多的这种知识。但是呢，它是一个循序渐进的过程。
Read Srila Prabhupada's books regularly.
有规律的阅读十二法的书籍。
So every day you have to have some practice, chanting, reading, taking prasadam, you know, follow the regulative principles, and gradually, your heart becomes purified, and you are going to understand more and more about Krishna.
那比如说呢，我们每天呢都要这个念诵，都要阅读，然后呢都要荣耀 prasadam。然后每天都要有规律地做这些事情，然后逐渐呢，我们的内心呢就得到了净化。当我们的这个内心得到净化之后呢，慢慢的我们就越多的能够理解 Krishna 他所处在的状态了，就是他的特点了。
Don't be impatient.
所以不要让自己不耐烦。
You are like a baby now. A baby can hardly walk, cannot run.
那现在呢，您是一个小婴儿，所以呢，作为婴儿来讲呢，都不会走路，所以就更加的跑不起来。
So wait until your legs are strong and you grow up, and then you can run.
那所以呢，我们要等着自己的这个腿要长得结实了之后呢，我们才可以慢慢的走。 然后呢，我们越接触了之后呢，我们才可以跑起来。
So this is in our practice. We are still babies, so we have to practice very nicely, so we'll be able to stand up very nicely, and then eventually we'll be able to run.
所以说呢，就是我们要很好的这个练习，然后在这个练习的这个过程中呢，然后让自己呢就变得这个强壮起来。等我们的变得强壮之后呢，我们才可以走，然后才可以跑起来。
A small child when he's learning to stand up and walk has many difficulties and sometimes falls down and hurts himself, but still does not give up trying to stand up and walk until eventually be able to walk very nicely.
那么小朋友在开始学习走路的时候，他是要遇到很多困难的。他是要经过很多的这种尝试才能站起来，然后呢才能走起来，但这之间呢他会摔很多跟头，但就即便如此呢也不要气馁，就是摔倒了然后再站起来，然后一次次的尝试，然后最终呢就能够走并且跑起来了。
The same in spiritual life, we first have to learn to be, stand up and then give the first steps. That is what we are learning now.
那么在灵性生活中我们也是如此，那我们呢要让自己这个慢慢的站起来，然后呢要让自己很有耐心的走出第一步，那么这也就是我们现在正在学习的事情。
Okay, next question.
The next part of our question is 对至尊真理的觉悟程度与 Vaishnava 26项品质培养和展现之间有什么关系呢？If the cultivation of the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava have anything to do about how much this person can understand the supreme truth, I can realize about the supreme truth.
Yes, the more we have realized, Krishna, the more the qualities manifest more, certainly.
那我们越多的觉悟到 Krishna, 我们的这个 Vaishnava 的品质就能够越多的展现，这是毫无疑问的。
So according to our degree of advancement, we naturally develop those qualities. Artificially, we cannot develop them. It has to be dependent on our practice, our degree of advancement.
而且呢，就是如果我们越就是我们走得越深，我们越精进，我们就越多的能够展现出这这个 Vaishnava 的这个品质。那么这 Vaishnava 的这个品质呢，它不是人为的展现出来的，它只有就是当我们走得越深的时候，它才能够展现出来。
Because as our heart becomes purified in contact with the Lord, these natural qualities are become manifested.
因为在当我们和主在进行这个交流，就是当我们和主相接近的时候，我们的内心呢就会变得越来越净化。当我们的心变得越来越净化的时候呢，这些 Vaishnava 的品质就能自然的展现出来。
Next question.
The next question from 智敏 Mataji. 顶拜 Guru, 感谢翻译。奉献者会因为三属性的影响而在死亡时到达不同的星球吗？我应该如何定位自己的目标呢？是渴望回归守神，还是只渴望为 Krishna 做纯粹的奉爱服务，还是不求结果，不设目标，只盯着眼前的服务，努力的去做呢？ Please accept my very humble obeisances. My question is that will devotees has the different destination in the different planets because of the influence of the three modes of material nature. And well, all of the questions are related. And what will be the right way for me to establish my goal? Shall I hankering for go back to the Lord, or shall I only hankering forjust rendering the pure devotional service for Lord Krishna, or I just don't think about any result at all, I don't build up any goal or destination, I just do the current service what I can do. Now I just make all of my effort to do the service, that will be okay.
That's the beginning.
就是指定着眼前的目标努力去做，这是一个开始。
That last one is the beginning, but then we have to develop the desire to join Krishna.
那然后呢，我们就应该培养出一个愿望，然后要回到 Krishna 那儿，要和 Krishna 汇合。
Otherwise, we just perform our duties mechanically, and we'll never develop that feeling of love for Krishna.
否则的话呢，我们只是在机械的从事我们的职责，然后我们永远都培养不出和 Krishna 之间那种情感。
So we should develop the desire to join Krishna, to go back to Krishna.
所以呢，我们应该培养出愿望要回到 Krishna 的身边，要和 Krishna 在一起的这种愿望。
But then when we are very advanced, then when you are very advanced, very well situated in pure devotional service, then you are so satisfied you don't even anchor to go back. You just want to serve Krishna even if you have to go to hell.
那但是呢，就是当你在服务 Krishna 的境界中达到非常高深的境界的时候，这会儿其实你已经不想着要回到 Krishna 的身边，你只是非常快乐的要为 Krishna 做服务了。那你在这样的这种境况下的时候呢，你甚至于可以去地狱。
So now at least you do your duties nice, very properly, follow everything Guru and the scriptures tell you and the saintly devotees, and then but develop an anchoring to join the Lord. Otherwise, your practice might become mechanical.
所以在目前的这个状态下呢，那当然就是按照经典，按照Guru所教我们的那样。认真努力的去做我们眼前的这个服务，但是呢，慢慢的我们要培养出想要回到 Krishna 身边的这种愿望，否则的话，我们只是在机械中做服务。
Next question.
One part of the question she also asked that, if the devotee will go to any of the planets because of the influence of the modes of the spirit, three modes of the material nature.
No, the devotee becomes free from the three modes of material nature.
就关于奉献者会不会因为三属性的影响而在死亡时达到不同的星球？因为奉献者他已经不再受物质三属性的影响了。
If the devotee becomes serious, he becomes free from that influence.
因为如果是这位奉献者他是很认真的话，那他就不再会受这物质属性的影响。
If Krishna wants you to take birth in another planet to continue service, yes, you may take birth in another planet. It's Krishna's will. We are just his servants.
但是呢，如果 Krishna 希望你能够在另外一个星球投生，并且在那个星球做服务的话，那我们也要去这么做，因为那是 Krishna 的意愿，我们只是他的仆人而已。
But this planet here is the best place to perform devotional, to practice devotional service.
You mean the Earth planet?
Yes, this planet where we are.
Okay, 但是我们现在 ，Yeah， 但是我们现在所处在的这个地因素呢，是做奉爱服务最好的地方。
Because if you go to every planet, there's so much material enjoyment, you may even forget your practice.
因为呢，如果是去到天堂星宿的话呢，因为那儿的享乐太多了，可能导致了我们根本就忘记了自己还有灵修这回事儿。
And in heaven, in the hell is so much pain, so much misery that you cannot practice. You don't have association of devotees, so difficult, practically impossible to practice.
那然后在这个地狱呢，也是非常的痛苦，有很多的磨难。而且呢，在这个地方呢，也没有任何的奉献者的联谊，使得你这个在极度的痛苦之中呢，也很难进行奉爱服务，也很难进行休息。
Whereas in this planet here, we have a certain dose of happiness and distress, so we feel it. Oh, I don't want to be distressed, I want to be happy. But why distress comes? So practicing devotional service is easier here in this earthly planet.
但是呢，在这个地球星宿里面呢，我们是有一定量的快乐，也有一定量的痛苦。 而且呢，我们是不想要这种痛苦，我们只想要快乐。但是问题是，这个快乐为什么也夹杂着痛痛苦呢？那这会儿呢，就会让我们去进行这个婚外服务。所以说呢，这在地球星宿里面呢，从事婚外服务就相对容易。
And what was the next one?
Then you've heard about her question. That's okay.
Okay.
Okay, next question. Yeah, and then the next question from Kong Xing. 顶拜Guru的莲花族，请问之前Guru说我们命运一出生就已经定了。那么我们这一生遇到的人、事物都是至尊主的安排吗？如果是的话，那我们是不是只需要安住在每一个当下就可以了，对任何人事物都不做评价？Please accept my humble obeisances to your lotus feet. And my question is that earlier you said that our fate has already been decided at the moment we were born. So in that case,
I'm not really following.
Yeah, well, she's saying that.In the lecture, or I don't know where, and if she says prior, you mentioned that our destination has already been decided at the moment we were born. So in that case, during the whole lifetime, whoever what we encounter or what kind of things we're going to experience are all the arrangements from the Lord, right? If that is the case,then is that true that we just stay in present in every current moment? No need to any judge to anything or any people?
Yes, certainly we don't need to judge anyone and any person. That's for sure.
那么其中有一件事情非常确定的就是我们肯定是不需要去给任何事和人做任何评价的。
But we are put in a position and we are doing things according to our karma. But if you engage in devotional service, then you break the karma chain, the chain of karma, and we realize our attitude of service to Krishna. We realize that we are servants of Krishna. Then we become free from karma, free from that material situation caused by karma.
就是说这人他在出生的时候呢，他是由于他的这个业报所定，而且他有什么样的一种生活。但是如果您要是成为主 Krishna 的奉献者，并且 Krishna 做奉爱服务的话，那么他其实就已经不再受这个业报所控了，他已经把这个业报给打破了。
嗯 ，Next question.
The next question, from 杨桂莲 Mataji, 顶拜 Guru.感恩Guru的讲课，这卡利年代的婆罗门有什么特征呢？这个年代还有婆罗门存在吗？婆罗门是主 Krishna 的奉献者吗？ Vaishnava 也是 Krishna 的奉献者，两者都是主的奉献者，为什么还要有婆罗门和 Vaishnava 的区分呢？感恩Guru的解答。Please accept my humble obeisance. Thank you very much for your lecture. In this Kali Yuga, what are the characters of the Brahmas? What are the characters of the Brahmas in Kali Yuga? And also, do we really have any Brahmanas in Kali Yuga? And if the Brahmanas are also the devotees of Lord Krishna, and since Vaishnava are also the devotees of the Lord, the Brahmanas also the devotees of the Lord, why there are differences in between of the Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Basically, I think she just wanted you to explain the differences.
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. There's no really Brahmanas in Kali Yuga.
Kali 年代已经没有真的婆罗门了。
A real Brahman is a Vaishnava.
那么真正的婆罗门就是 Vaishnava。
Otherwise, cannot be a Brahmana. Brahmana means a person who knows the absolute truth. The absolute truth means Krishna.
那么这个婆罗门的意思呢，就是觉悟到绝对真理的人。那么绝对真理呢，就是 Krishna.
So the qualities of the Brahman and the devotees are the same.
所以说呢，婆罗门和 Vaishnava 的，就是婆罗门和奉献者的品质是一样的。
嗯。So real Brahman is a Vaishnava.
嗯，那么所以说呢，这个真正的婆罗门，他是真正的 Vaishnava。
嗯。So a Vaishnava naturally has all the qualities of the Brahman.
所以呢 ，Vaishnava 他就很自然的具有所有的婆罗门所具备的品质。
嗯 ，is peaceful, is acts according to scriptures, is kind, is merciful, is equipoised, self-satisfied.
那么他很平和，他也很平静，他也很这个。自然其德，就是他们自内在的有这种满意，而且呢，他也很平等的对待别人。
嗯。So we only the Vaishnavas can be real Brahmanas.
只有 Vaishnava 才能够成为真正 Brahman.
Because the Vaishnavas have all the divine qualities.
因为 Vaishnava 它具有所有的这些神奇的品质。
嗯。Next question.
The next question is from Aditi Madhaji. 觉悟到超灵的人能回到灵性世界吗 ？For those who are realized a Paramatma, can go back to the spiritual world?
No, not to Goloka Vrindavan, not to Vaikuntha.
觉悟到超灵的人，他们去不了格罗克文丹呢，去不了百昆塔。
They stay in between the material world, between Brahman and the Vaikuntha planets, the spiritual world.
他们会待在这个 Brahman 和百昆塔中间的那个地方。So Brahman is the material world.
The same. So they come back to the material world to show their mystic powers because they don't have any activities in that position. They don't have any activities. So they may fall back into the material, come back to the material world to engage in altruistic activities.
嗯，那么他们呢，就是待在这个灵性世界和物质世界中间的那个地方。那然后他们待在这个地方的时候呢，他其实是没有任何的活动可做的，所以说呢，他会再回到这个物质世界，然后呢，去，要不然就显示他的神秘力量，要不然呢就会做一些利他主义的活动。阿叔 ，He is asking the person who realized the Paramatma super soul, but not the person of Brahma. I'm translating it right?
Yeah, there is no planet, there is no place, no really planet or activity for a person is the same position as those who realize Brahman.
Okay.
Just they have the understanding of the localized personality, that's all. But otherwise they are in Brahman. They have no activities.
Okay. 就是觉悟到超灵的这个人呢，他没有一个具体的一个星，就是去到的一个星宿。那他其实他除了能够觉悟到就是有这么一个处在的位置的这个超灵之外，他和觉悟到布拉满的这个婆罗门凡是没有任何区别的，因为他在这样的一个状态下，他是没有任何的具体的活动去做的。
Or as we said, because they don't have any activity, they come back to the material world and engage in very altruistic activities.
或者呢，就是因为他有这个任何的活动在做，所以呢，他会再次回这个物质世界，然后呢，去从事一些利他的活动。
嗯。Okay, next question.
Yeah. Then Yamuna Tiramaji has a comment. She said that, try to learn to be a devotee, and then she said that, 顶拜咕噜，我一直流着泪聆听着咕噜的教导。我将谨记您的教导，规范修习，循序渐进，努力尽早地站起来，感恩您无限的仁慈。 This is a comment showing her appreciation. She said that please accept my humble obeisances, and I am having tears flowing from my cheek to hearing the instructions and lectures from you, and I will for sure to remember the instructions from you, and I will try to establish my regulative practice, and I will gradually to growing up, and I will try my best to stand up, to stand. Thank you very much for your unlimited mercy.
This is all we have to do. This is all we have to do.
所以您所说的这一切呢，是我们每一个人都必须要做的。
We all have to stand, practice very, very steady, very sincerely. We cannot practice perfectly, but you should practice the best we can.
所以呢，我们每一个人呢，都要这个非常的真诚的、认真的、努力的去练习，让自己站好。然后呢，我们其实是没有办法完美的去进行休息的，但是呢，我们要认真的、努力的去休息。
Thank you for your encouragement.
非常感谢您的鼓励。
Vedi,
觉悟超灵的人不是通过冥想在服务主的超灵形体吗？不是通过冥想在服务主的超灵形体吗？Okay. Well, my understanding for the person who realized the Paramatma is through that meditate the超灵形体the super soul form of the Lord.
Yeah, that's all.
是。对，他就是他就是他就只是做这么一个冥想。他只是
This is in the practice. This is in the practice.
对，他要做的这个练习就是在观想主的灵性的形体。
Then when he realizes the super soul, he sees the super soul.
然后呢，他就觉悟到了超灵，他看到了超灵。
And what we hear is that if he does not understand that he is individual soul and in here is the super soul and I should engage in the service of the Lord, then he will desire to become one with the super soul, which is similar to become one with Brahman. They become one with the super soul.
因为他如果他没有看到，就是如果他没有觉悟到这是超灵，然后这是我，然后我应该有为超灵去进行做服务的这种愿望，没有这样的事情产生的话，那他其实他可能会产生的愿望就是他要和这个超灵要融入，要合一，所以呢就和觉悟到至尊凡没有区别，就觉悟到凡没有区别了。
They lose their individuality.
因为这样呢他就失去了他自己的个体性。
Whereas if they have the perception that there is me and this is the Supreme Lord, I want to know more about the Supreme Lord, and that desire of service as Supreme Lord there, then the Lord receive the association of the devotee.
但是如果他要是觉悟到了这是我，然后这是至尊主，然后我希望能够了解更多的关于至尊的信息，然后我希望能够服务至尊主的话，那这会儿至尊主他就能够这个做出一些安排，然后呢让他能够和奉献者联谊了。
So this can happen.
那这就有可能会发生。
Okay, this is the last question.
Yeah, this is the last question.
Okay.Thank you everyone for your nice questions.
非常感谢大家这么好的问题。
I hope the answers were okay.
那我希望我的这个回答呢是可以的。
Thank you everybody for listening.
那非常感谢大家的聆听。
And a special thank you to Danakeli and Sati Mataji for arranging for our association.One more question.
Yeah, one more question.
Okay.
One more question. The question is from Radha Nanda Mataji. Hare Krishna, 深深的顶拜敬仰的阿叔。 我们灵修生活中重要的活动之一就是到户外集体唱诵 Hare Krishna 的曼陀罗。请问这种传播方式不仅可以利益人类，同样也可以利益花草丛林、飞鸟、鱿鱼以及各类的动物吗？谢谢您。谢谢主持人。Well, the question is that, please accept my very humble obeisances to you. And over spiritual practice, one of the most important activities is that to go to the outdoor and chanting Hare Krishna, chanting the mantra to the public. So my question is that for this way of preaching, and this can not only benefit to the human beings, but at the same time also can benefit to the all of kinds of living entities, like the flowers, grass, woods, the birds, and also the fish, and all kinds of animals, right?
Yes, yes, this is the best,
So at
least you can do kirtan in the parks, and like you go there like to have having good time, like you are, like other people go there to dance, and you can do in the same way, just looking like you're having good time there to go, and with other devotees, and you and sing Hare Krishna, and dance, and whoever hears, they are benefited, you are benefited, and they are benefited.
就是如果要是我们能够到公园里面和奉献者们一起来唱诵，然后呢还有奉献者在那里这个随着唱诵跳舞的话，那这样的方式呢对于任何听到这个曼陀罗的人都是有益的，不仅是有益，就不仅是人，就是任何听到曼陀罗的生物体它都是有益的，而且呢对于我们自己也是有益的。
Yes, it's the most important activity of our devotional life is to do Sankirtan. It's good for usand good for other living entities.
那么对于我们来说呢，我们休息的很重要的一个部分呢，就是在外面进行 Sankirtan 的唱诵。那么这个对于我们以及对于众生来讲呢，都是有益的。
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Please let me see here. Vaidehi Manaji have one more question. She's asking that 不是有一个冥想者回到外昆塔了吗？She said that isn't true there is a meditator go back to Vaikuntha.
If meditate on Lord Vishnu, on the service of Lord Vishnu, yes.
那么这位奉献者呢，他是在冥想主 Vishnu, 他在冥想着对主 Vishnu 的服务，然后他就回到了 Vaikuntha。
Yeah, we meditate to have service to Krishna, then we go back to Krishna, certainly.
那如果我们要是冥想着我们对 Krishna 做服务的话，那毫无疑问我们是回到 Krishna 那儿的，这是毫无疑问的。
But the yogis they meditate on the super soul not for service, they just want to see the super soul, and then they may make the mistake of identify themselves with the super soul.
但是呢，这瑜伽师他所冥想的并不是对 Krishna 做服务。他冥想的是超灵，他是想看到超灵，而且呢，他也许可能就会认同于自己是超灵，然后把自己融入到超灵中了。Okay, so this time everything.
Okay. Thank you everybody. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Nitai Gaura Premanandi, Hari.Hari, Hari Bo.
Hari, Hari, Hari Bo. Ashu Ki Jai. 百昆的之音服务源于聆听，各位尊敬的奉献者，那我们今天的早课呢就到此结束了。是非常感谢 Krishna Baladev Prabhu 阿叔为我们的精彩讲述以及对问题的耐心的解答，感恩萨提玛吉为我们安排这么好的平台，谢谢所有的奉献者的聆听，深深的感恩大家，祝大家在 Krishna 知觉之中度过一个美妙的周日。Hare Krishna.